My special story that I'm also talking in the TEDx from is that I was anorexic. So I really for a long time didn't really at all like my body. So it's just like a symptom of something, meaning you're not okay with yourself. And the style coaching, which might seem surprising, is something that really can help to accept yourself. Of course, you have to do psychological coaching too, but that really can accept yourself because you have to look at yourself. And I think the step looking at yourself is the first step going to acceptance of yourself, of your body, of who you are actually inside out.
Welcome to Your Voice Matters podcast. I'm your host, Inês Moura, executive vocal coach. This season aims to spotlight amazing people who have incredible stories and significant missions. I hope you feel empowered, inspired, and ready to use your voice to make a difference. Welcome to today's episode. I have with me Stephanie Gasser. She's a multilingual translator that became a passionate style coach in the last few years. Based in Brussels, mom of three boys, she was looking for something that made sense in the fashion industry. Her own life style story was about accepting herself, and now she wants to do the same, transforming others by her work. We worked together in her TED Talk around 2 years ago, which was a great experience on my side to learn more about this field of fashion. Welcome, Stephanie, to this podcast.
Thank you so much, Inês. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored. And thank you for this great introduction. Happy to be.
Nice. So your story was really fascinating when I worked with you building your speech. And I know that you were and are still a translator, but you became really interested in becoming a style coach. So what does a style coach mean? What's that? Can you share?
Sure. A style coach is someone who helps others to feel more confident via their clothes. So it's hairstyle, makeup, clothes, or for men, beard style. So it's really authentic to help people, or it can also be like societies with their image. But the goal is to feel more confident.
Mm-hmm. To empower others through their own style.
Exactly.
And how was your journey becoming a style coach? When did it start? What triggered your interest?
So actually, since always and ever, I love fashion, but I always thought it's kind of superficial, or people tell you it's superficial. So it was kind of a long way. I only started looking for a job in fashion like 5-6 years ago. Basically, I'm a translator, so I'm German, of German origin, speaking English, French, Dutch. And so I found a school where I studied style coaching because I thought, okay, what can I combine? So it's actually the psychological part and the fashion part, which is, as you nicely said in the introduction, due to my own story, accepting myself, accepting my body, accepting my life. And I found the ESR in Paris. I was looking in Belgium, but I didn't really find something that talked to me. So it was always like more like relooking and style coaching is really very different, because relooking, really you take like an outfit, for example, just for a special occasion. But style coaching has the psychological part. So you really try to understand the person and help with colors, cuts, materials, also posture, to feel more confident. So it was like a really long journey. I first started studying online at the London College of Style. Then I was looking in France at some renowned relook in the relooking sector. And then I found my school and I was really happy. It really transformed my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And let me grab that last piece. How did also your style transform your life? The way you've seen, you've dealt with your style, you have evolved on it. That personal part, how was for you?
Exactly. This is the first thing you do when you study being style coach, at least authentic style coach, that you first have to do all the steps that you will do with a client on yourself. So look at your body, look at your face, which colors fit you the best that make you shine, which materials, which haircut, which hair colors. So this is very tough, I must say, because we often have like concepts in our heads from our family, from society, we have to free ourselves from. And my special story that I'm also talking in the TEDx from is that I was anorexic. So I really for a long time didn't really at all like my body. So it's just like a symptom of something, meaning you're not okay with yourself. And the style coaching, which might seem surprising, is something that really can help to accept yourself. Of course, you have to do psychological coaching too, but that really can accept yourself because you have to look at yourself. And I think the step looking at yourself is the first step going to acceptance of yourself, of your body, of who you are actually inside out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really powerful. I still remember that you said, okay, this is not superficial. I still remember that you would not be totally unusual to doctors to prescribe an outfit instead of a pill to make us feel, you know, more confident, happier, etc. And so you made your own journey. And when did you decide to do it professionally? It's like, okay, I can also help other people doing this.
Like 4 years ago, 5 years, where I started the journey. So it's like 2.5 years that I really took the decision to build my business. So next to my translations, due to like big life changes, it was like going through separation, going to my mom, being sick. And I think that really helped to ask myself, what do I really, really, really want in life? And it's always this fashion plus helping others to shine, to raise others, that makes my heart like feel like, wow. So if I have someone who really does not feel comfortable, and then I help them and they go home and think they are beautiful, because for me, everyone is beautiful. It's just a question of how you look at yourself and how you style yourself, which colors, which cuts. So it was due to my own development. I think it has to do with maturity to think, okay, now I'm capable of helping others, because I went through many things. And now I also did the studies to have the professional tools, because you need some knowledge to help others about colors and cuts, and also the coaching part, because it's very touchy, because you touch the body. Clothes are on our bodies. It's somehow linked to our soul. And I'm happy that I can combine my own story with the professional tools to help others to shine.
And that's amazing. That's an amazing mission. And also in this podcast, in this season, we are talking about inspiring voices. And you definitely are inspiring other people to look at themselves differently, to see how they, you know, can enhance their qualities, their own beauty. And the style is something that will only show and reveal what the person already is. And I also believe that I believe everyone is beautiful. It's just a matter how you see yourself, how you style yourself, how you present yourself to the world. And you were saying that you decide to make a decision. You decided to go ahead and pursue this new professional path, also in a moment of transition. And I see this often, that in moments of transition that we need to feel even more powerful. For example, if you are changing jobs, if you are looking to a new career, if you are in a new phase of your life after a divorce, do you see that people search and look more for this service when they are changing something in their lives as well? Is this a pattern?
Exactly. That's exactly always like crucial points in our lives. For example, as you say, divorce, or after giving birth, or after menopause, or moving, or when your body changes, like either you're ill or you gained weight or you lost weight. Sometimes we are lost with our style. And it's exactly at that moment that it's good if you seek out for professional help. to have someone from the exterior to help you feel good in your new self somehow.
Mm-hmm. It's when you need to have all the tools, all the skills available. So you also present yourself differently to the world, to other people, to a new job, to a new phase of your life. And I think it's really helpful. I was looking into my life where I did something similar, and it was exactly in moments of my life, professional life, that I was transitioning to a new job or to a new phase. And it was really helpful to align myself with also the kind of outfit I was wearing. And it's not superficial at all. I remember of crying the first time that I need to change, because I was kind of, it was part of the job that I have to dress differently. I remember to cry because I wasn't aligned with that. I didn't believe in those clothes. And it was such a change for me. It was, you know, maybe almost 15 years ago, such a change to have like being dressed in a blazer and high heels and so on. But then it became the norm. And then later I needed to get rid of all that formality, etc., in my style. So I did again another consultation to see, okay, how can I move on for the next phase of my life that is more calm, more relaxed, more informal, more, you know, with more empathy and not that that formality that sometimes corporate brings a little bit with the way we dress in corporate. So it was really, really interesting. So I'm also personally interested in this matter because I see how it changed before I met you. This was all before I met you, but how much it changed also my perception of this area. And speaking about the TEDx process. So tell me how you did decide to, okay, let's do a TED talk, because it's not something that you think often, or maybe you think often, but you don't have the courage, but you did have the courage. How was the process of applying and then doing your TED talk?
It somehow came to me. So I remember it was quite late. I was checking on my computer, on LinkedIn. And then I all of a sudden saw the ad of TEDx. So they post, I think, twice a year or once a year ads. And the subject was Beneath the Surface. And that was appealing, really appealing to me. It was like, that's me, because everyone always thinks that fashion is superficial. And I always say, no, it's not, because it can help you so much to feel better, confident, to shine in the world, to get the job, to get the partner, to just feel better. And so it was really spontaneous. I read it and I applied, talking about my life story, the studies, and how I see style coaching and fashion. And then I was super surprised that I was accepted, and I was super happy, but also a bit scared.
Yes, but you were excited. And I remember when you brought the first draft of your speech was already very good. You know, I remember to see the first draft. Yeah, all the ideas are there. And so for someone that doesn't speak in public professionally, it was really impressive, I must say. So I felt that you knew what you want to say. You had this idea that you want to put out in the world, and that was beautiful. That was really nice.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. It was actually my first like public speech like that, but luckily I met you, because I felt like, oh my god, we had to do this first draft. But I always told you it's the speech of my life, because it's something I always had inside of me to share with the world, to inspire, actually, to say, okay, you can be down, it cannot look good in your life or whatever, but keep on going. And you can find, if it's not style coaching, it can be something else. Just keep on going. And that was, I was so blessed to have the chance to share this. It really felt super good. And luckily I had your professional help, because otherwise it wouldn't have been the same.
But let me just reinforce that for most people, doing a TEDx is something that is totally scary. Oh my gosh, I will never do it. And for you, it was your first speech ever. It was a TED Talk, so imagine. If it's your first speech, like, I think everyone can do it. Even if it's your first speech, your first public appearance. And it was super inspiring, because it was amazing. I I still have the sense of the goosebumps and how people react to the talk, because it was also very personal. And you spoke about your mom, and it was, you know, highly a personal story. So it was really, really nice. So I invite everyone to listen to your TED Talk. I think I'll also put it in the description of this podcast if someone wants to listen to it. So one of the things that I love in the TED Talk was also about, and we spoke after about that, was sustainable fashion, because we both love this topic. I'm also very keen into sustainable practices and how we can change the world with our small gestures, small habits every day, and the way we buy, wear, or not wear the clothes, and also what kind of clothes we buy. And I also realized that you were very interested on this, and actually you base your work also in sustainable practices. So what is this sustainable fashion? Is this some kind of greenwashing, or is it possible to be sustainable and have sustainability and fashion in the same sentence?
Yes, indeed. This is the second, besides making people powerful via the clothes, this is something I see like as my mission, to help people to make more sustainable choices. So what is sustainable fashion? It's like the fashion industry is one of the most polluting on earth, and it's based on actually overconsumption and overproduction. And we as consumers can, with our choices, make a change. So it's more like looking where have my clothes been produced, should go for more sustainable brands, meaning which kind of materials do they use, where are they produced. If I live in Belgium, perhaps buying something that comes from really far away is not so good concerning the emissions. Then also go more for secondhand, look already what do I have in my wardrobe, what can I reuse, instead of like having this feeling to buy and to buy and to buy, and lots of brands to buy cheaper, but in the end we all will pay the price. So brands, they will overproduce to make the price cheaper, and then in the end what they have, the surplus, will be incinerated or sent to like third world countries, which is really, really bad. And I know for myself, because I have been a fast fashion consumer, so buying cheap clothes that just to have always be like on trend, etc., or to feel like a void in yourself. It's like this shopping feeling to always have something new. And as a coach, I think it's my mission somehow to help people to think about it. It's in fashion. It's actually touches everything on our world today. To be more sustainable. And as you said in the introduction, greenwashing, it can be. So to be aware that there are brands that say all of a sudden they are greener, but it's not the case. So to think, first step, I think, is to think about the choices we make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's practical? I want to ask you two things. Let me see what's the first. So one is what do you do when you are with a client, for example? Do you go, in terms of the process, do you also search in their own, invite the person to search in their own wardrobe? What garments do they have? How can they combine with each other? Do you help the person to see what they already have instead of starting to buy new pieces? What's the process that in your coaching practice, it is also more sustainable? That's the first question.
That's the wardrobe check, or shop in your own wardrobe. So this is a really big part, and I really love that. To once you know which colors are best for you and which cuts and what you want, actually, what you want to bring to the world, how you like to feel, I go into the wardrobe, which is quite intimate. So you go into the life of your client, and I check what they already have. It's like a wardrobe cleanse, but some clients already are super organized. It's just a matter of actually learning how to combine. So I have an app where I can combine, like, for example, your wonderful blouse. I can show you, you can combine this with this, that, like four possibilities to combine it with other pieces of your wardrobe. And then once we check the whole wardrobe, I make like a list of things that perhaps one day when they would like to, or when they find it somewhere, can buy, like accessories mostly. For example, I have this sweatshirt, but I always combine it with this pant. But how can I make it more interesting? For example, with a nice necklace or earrings or just a belt. So sometimes it's just small things that make an outfit more interesting or different. And I think that's really something that has value, because afterwards, when I'm not there anymore, the clients, my goal is to help clients to be able to do it on their own.
That was my second question. How then, after the coaching? So one thing is the coaching, and how you help the person to see. And I love the expression, I didn't know, shop in your own wardrobe. Was that?
Yeah.
That's super nice. And then the other is, on the daily basis, what advices do you give to your clients to make more sustainable choices? Sometimes it's, looking for different accessories, and you don't have to spend a ton of money buying the clothes itself. Sometimes it's just the accessory that you need to. What advices do you do?
So for the first question, when someone does a complete coaching, or just it can also be just the wardrobe check or the shopping in your own wardrobe, I give them like a style book where it's like a summary of what we saw together, because of course it's a lot of information and you will forget. Or with my application, you can I scan your whole wardrobe, and as soon as you buy a new piece, I can show you how to combine it. So that's super handy. And for the there are different things you can do. So it's like, for example, first think about, do I really need the piece when I go shopping? So the best is to sleep like one night if you can. I know it's not always possible, but to think, do I really need it? And then already imagine with which other pieces of my wardrobe can I combine it? Because sometimes, or often, we tend to buy like the whole look we see in a store on the model. And then we don't think about how we can combine the pieces with which other pieces. So this is something we can learn. Then, of course, where do I shop? Secondhand is, of course, already a big step, even though I know there are also fast fashion brands in the secondhand circle. But it's already a good step. I think everything counts. Nobody's perfect, so I'm not either. But everything we do to change something is already a great step. Then, of course, choosing more sustainable brands. There are different websites where you can check with them. Perhaps we will talk about this later, to check, is this really a sustainable brand or not? And this is my main, or yes, we also already did that, like you can swap clothes instead of buying them. Either something that you don't like anymore, you organize like an evening and you swap them, or just borrow them from a friend. Or there are even like now different possibilities to borrow clothes from online, or even like in Brussels, for example. I know some. If you have a special occasion, for example, a wedding or something, instead of buying this big dress for hundreds of euros, just lend it for the occasion, and you will always be stylish because you can change dresses. And this is something in our mindset, actually, that has to change, because I know this from myself. I discovered secondhand and vintage thanks to a good friend, because before I had the same impression like, it stinks, it's old, someone else wore it, it means like I'm poor or something, like all these strange ideas we have.
Yeah, that were imposed by the fashion industry for many years, because it was also, if you are, actually, in our grandparents' generation, secondhand was the norm. You would have, from your cousins, your clothes, you would share within this family. The clothes were also more sustainable, more durable. They will last longer. And now we don't swap anymore, because also the clothes that we buy, they don't last that long. So by the time that you want to swap, they are already in the bad state. We did a swapping event. It was a very nice event. We did it, and it was a practice that I recommend everyone to do. So basically what I did, just to give this idea to everyone that's listening to this, is to organize an evening or an event to invite five friends, for example. I think we were eight, I don't remember. But up, you know, up to 10 people, I would say, or eight people, it's already a very cozy and group. And then each person brings five pieces of garments that are in a good shape, but you will not use it probably anymore, or you don't, or it's not your style, or it's not your size. So you bring, and then you can, you know, show your clothes to the other person, and you can like shop within the group's the clothes that the group brought, and so you can swap within that. And I remember that we did that at my place back then. It was really fun. It was a nice event, and also, like, it was amazing how you can see like people exchanging clothes from different generations. And actually from those swaps, I have some of my favorite pieces, you know, things that I really like. And when I see my wardrobe now, I think it was maybe 20% or 25% is already secondhand. When I see like in my options, because I'm buying less and less, and trying to swap or trying to find second hands, I see that a bigger percentage than, you know, some years ago, I have it in second hand, and they are my favorite pieces. So it's really nice to do that, and I inspire everyone to do the same at least once a year or something, because it's really a nice move. So yes, and we were talking about specific brands. How do we know that a brand is sustainable or not? Because I think we need to do some research. It was recently there was some cases of big brands that were supposedly saying that, yes, bring us your clothes and we will recycle them, or how do you say when they so you can recycle, but you can also do other things, upcycle, exactly. And by the end, there was an investigation, and they seen it was not, they were not putting in action what they were saying in their advertisements. So how can we find the ones that are lying or the ones that are telling the truth?
Good question. In Belgium, actually, I love the website COSH. So it's COSH. It's a wonderful website where all the brands and in Belgium, but also in different countries. So it's also for Germany, for example, where they really do research, and you can check out, is this brand sustainable or not? Then there are others, like for some one stylist actually in the sustainable sector is Aja Barber, and she wrote a book. Check for the title. And you can also check on her website if it's...
What's her name again?
Aja Barber, B-A-R-B-E-R. Uh-huh. And it's Consumed, her book. And in the book Consumed, I really like it. She talks also about, it's on the one hand, the greenwashing, but also the, like, somehow colonization attitude of the West. So that you really like buy more inclusive brands also, because we have on the one hand this sustainability thing, but on the other hand also the body positivity thing. So that there are some brands that just don't include everyone. And so it's really interesting. I really recommend her book. I learned a lot, and I think we all learn a lot all the time. So, and just for example, ask the brand, also write questions, ask. I know we don't always have the time, but there is also another movement, Fashion Revolution, who celebrate their 10th year this year. I can give all the things we can, if you would like to put them.
Share the links, yeah.
And it's in April, I think they do 10, because of the 10 years, they do 10 days of like just people thinking about their attitude to fashion. So normally they make like, you look at the label and you ask the brand, where are my clothes made? So you think also about who made my clothes? How are the people paid that made my clothes? So it's on the one hand, it's the pollution part, because, for example, for one pair of jeans, you have to use 7,500 liters of water. It's crazy for one jeans.
Gosh.
And
Gosh.
I Also, Oxfam is a good resource for to dive more into the subject. So I think just I have one a German, if there are German speakers here, Fashion Changers, they are really great. So all the resources you can find to learn more, because the more resources we have, the more we can perhaps think that it's the information is true. There are lots of movements, but we're still not there. But to get informed and on websites, books also are good, is the best way, and to ask questions.
That's a very good, our actions matter. And also if we want to raise voices for sustainable fashion, we need to also start asking the questions, be more informed. And if something is cheap, ask ourselves, why is this so cheap? Who is not being paid? Or what is, how much is it polluting the environment? And also making some pressure on brands, you know, to see and make some noise in terms of, okay, what do we want? What is for us acceptable or not? And I think just looking at how is the composition, for example, of the clothes, if they are more natural materials or not, checking the labels, if they are made in, you know, countries really, really far away, we have to, this was needed to be produced there, probably not respecting all the conditions, and also it has been transported to Europe. So there's a lot of questions that we can ask. Because as you said, this is, and that's also why I brought this topic to this podcast, because we want to inspire more voices and inspire more people to do what's right for society. And I think your voice is a voice that really matters. And I love your job. I love what you're doing and your mission. So I want to also to give you space to share this. And I really invite everyone to look at fashion in a different way, not something superficial, but something that can actually change the world for better. So where, Stephanie, people can find more about you and your work?
They can find me. I'm on Instagram. It's Blue M. My company is called Blue M, like Blue M style. And why blue? Just to say, because often people ask me, it's the color blue. It's like somehow inspiring. Then M in French, it means love yourself, M. And Blue M, bloom. So bloom with your clothes. And my logo is like a lotus that grows like everywhere. So wherever you are, just make the first step and then you will bloom. So Blue M, and on LinkedIn, it's Stephanie Gasser. I also have my website, Blue M Style. And actually, I also do a sustainable fashion tour in Brussels with a photographer. So we only go to secondhand shops and try to have fun also, because fashion also tells stories. Clothes also tell stories. I talked about that in the TED, and it can be really, really touching and fun moment to dive into your clothes.
And if someone is interested in doing this tour, if they are in Brussels or visiting Brussels, they can ask you more information in the website or in your social media.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so, so much, Stephanie. It was really a pleasure speaking with you and sharing these ideas with the world. I hope you enjoyed to be my guest in this podcast.
Thank you so much. Really honored. As I said, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you want to have a chat with me, go to my website or social media and book your 30 minutes discovery call. I'll be happy to help you achieve your voice and communication goals. And always remember, your voice matters.